Yet problems soon became apparent. The first is price. An overnight stay at Birch sets you, or if you are lucky like Bartleby, your employer, back £160, $192. The Shangri-La charges £350 for a standard room. Cities have plenty of cheaper third spaces these days. A co-working space costs a fraction of that. The second problem is how productive can workers be with all the distractions that are designed to make work not feel like work? The spectacular view from the Shard is less conducive to dreaming up a sales pitch or a column than it is to daydreaming. At Birch, board games occupy every horizontal surface, ready to draw out the procrastinator in you. And once you are done stretching, that sourdough baking class is a recipe to keep putting work on the back burner. Third, if you resist the temptation to temporize and get down to business, you may as well be at home or the office. The kibbutz-like camaraderie which Birch, and other places like it cropping up everywhere, try so hard to evoke is, ironically, the very thing you miss by staying away from your office mates. While you are updating that spreadsheet or answering emails, luxury hotels' creature comforts scarcely register. As with most material indulgences, a sense of vacuity descends once the novelty of the marble floors and stacks of fluffy towels wears off. The millennials and Gen Zs meandering around Birch suggest that demands for its hip offerings exists, and hoteliers are wise to work their assets in new ways as they cope with changes to their industry. Business travel is, after all, unlikely to return to pre-pandemic patterns for a while, if ever. Just do not expect white-collar types to flock to hotels en masse for a hard day's work. Most of the Shangri-La's daytime residents seem to be couples seeking privacy, not executives keen to inspire and invigorate their pitches. As for Bartleby, you will find her at the Economist's London head office, or, failing that, her kitchen table.